Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 90 of the Big Boo Cast. On this episode, Melanie and I are so excited to get to spend some time with our good friend, Travis Cottrell. Travis, as many of you know, is a deeply gifted worship leader, a songwriter, a crazy talented musician. He is also really, really funny. Such a plus, the funny. So we're going to have a great time hanging out with him in just a little bit. But before we get into that, I wanted to let you know that this episode of the podcast is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best heated clothing. Heated clothing that's powered by rechargeable batteries. Action Heat is the perfect solution to keep you toasty and warm, even in the most frigid winter weather. This clothing provides comfort and warmth for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, even undergarments like long johns. This clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat through heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by a rechargeable low-voltage lithium-ion battery that lasts up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. It's perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. If you're trying to wrap that up about this time, like so many of us are, this is such a great option. Action Heat clothes are available in men's and women's styles, and these are products that fit everyone's budget. They start at just $39.99. About a month ago when my sister and I went to the Mississippi State Ole Miss game, I had my Action Heat socks with my little battery packs. My sister actually wore one of their shirts that was heated, and we were toasty warm in the middle of some cold conditions. So if you would like to order some Action Heat clothing, there's a special deal for Big Boo Cast listeners to save 15% off of your entire order. Just go to action-heat.com/boo. to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's action-heat.com/BOO and use the coupon code BOO at checkout to save 15%. Alrighty, y'all, as always, we're so glad you're here. We hope you get to relax a little bit and listen and laugh with Travis Cottrell and us on episode 90. Here we go. Hey, everybody, this is Sophie. This is Boo Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
And hey, it's Travis. I never wait for the and. It happens every time. It's Fry Daddy.
Yay! Okay, so we did this a couple of days ago, and Melanie, why don't you tell everybody what happened with that?
I don't know. I don't know that anything went wrong as much as just nothing really felt right. It felt like we were all, so if your sinus infection was bad, I felt like I was very distracted because we had a Christmas light situation going on at my house. I don't know. Travis was worried he wasn't funny. I thought, Travis, you were delightful. I thought there was some diamond thrown in. I thought it was fine.
Yeah, I was operating on fumes, just coming off of a Christmas tour and literally, like, I wasn't firing on all cylinders.
Okay. And since we believe in podcasting excellence, we decided it was worth doing again.
True story. Because this just took us 30 minutes to get going because it was a train wreck. But now we're here and it's almost Christmas and we're delighted to give this a second go. It's a second chance, y'all. Our God is the God of second chances.
That's right. That's right. And so is Skype.
Mm-hmm. Apparently.
Yes. Amen and hallelujah.
Okay. So, Melanie, you said last night, you came up, you were like, let's talk about these things. There were some things you wanted to talk about specifically.
Well, I didn't know that I necessarily want to talk about them. I was just like, I felt like we needed a plan after last time because I felt like there was a lot of, not that we ever had a plan, but I thought at least we have like a place to go. And I felt like, because we talked about other stuff, I didn't know if we could repeat the other stuff we've already talked about.
Well, I don't know that anybody would care for us to repeat the stuff we've already talked about.
We did cover a plethora of old Nabisco and Hostess cakes of our childhood.
That we did. And Travis, I will say that you inspired me, because on my grocery list today is Tang and lemonade mix, because I decided Russian tea sounds really good.
Oh, and guess what? I'm drinking a cup right now.
No.
Right
is
now.
It is it as good as you remember?
Literally in my hand. It is. It is.
Okay, so since nobody is ever going to hear what we recorded 2 days ago, Travis, explain what Russian tea is. Like,
well, we were talking about our favorite Christmas treats, I guess, from our childhood or whatnot. But one of the things I mentioned was that my sister always made Russian tea. And it's one of my favorites. It's basically Tang, and you're right, Mel, there is instant lemonade in it, isn't there? It's Tang and lemonade and instant tea mix, kind of all mixed together, and sugar maybe.
Yeah, and then some recipes I noticed had like some cinnamon or cloves, I guess, if you wanted more of that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I
prefer to keep my mulling spices apple situation different, separate from my Russian tea situation.
Okay.
So I don't put like cinnamon, cloves, and all that stuff in this. We're like heavy on the tang over here for Russian tea, which I don't know if we should call Russian tea now. I don't know if that's like, if there's collusion involved.
Sure.
The other day. I guess that would make it adding molar spices.
Not oh, how about it?
You made a pun.
Look at there. Current events. And tea all in one.
Okay. Muller spices.
Muller spices.
Muller spicer. No, I'm just kidding.
So, Melanie, did you have something else you felt like we needed to cover? Because I have questions.
No. Well, I thought that if everybody wanted to share... I was curious, like, I really wanted to know, Travis, you particularly, since you are a musician, like, I was thinking about Christmas music, because, I mean, of course, we're all listening to Christmas music right now. If you had, like, a favorite song, I was thinking, like, favorite song by favorite artist, like, because I think songs vary, because I have different, I know for me, I have, like, different versions I like by different artists.
Well, you know how, I feel passionately about my Christmas music opinions.
Yes.
Which I tweet about here and there and yawn. And, you know, and on my Facebook page, I've got my cover photo is all my favorite albums. But my all-time favorite Christmas recording is off of a record that I don't care. I don't really necessarily care for the rest of the record. But it's my favorite recording. And it's from the very original, the first Mannheim Steamroller recording, Christmas recording. And it's their version of Silent Night.
Oh, I don't think I even know what that is.
I don't. I mean, I'm
sure you do.
We know what Silent Night is, but I don't know if I know that particular version. I'm going to write this down.
I know. Look, now I'm so curious.
I can't play it on my computer, but I'm wondering if I could play like it off. Hold up my phone right here and play a second of it, because you will recognize it. There was one time somebody did something when after 9/11 happened, they put a voiceover over this recording at Christmas time and made a famous video, but. It's my favorite. So anyway, when I was growing up, my sister-in-law, Kathy, I have a sister, Kathy, and a sister-in-law, Kathy. My sister, Kathy, makes the Russian tea. My sister-in-law, Kathy, directed our preschool choir at church. Okay.
Okay.
And so every year at Christmas time, she would take the preschool choir and she would dress them up in these golden colored children's choir robes. With big red bows in the front. Or were they white? I think they were white. Never mind. Not gold.
Okay.
But then they would do sign language to this one version. It's just very nostalgic to me because I just loved it. You know how I am. Oh, here it is.
Okay.
Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Y'all telling me you've never heard this?
I don't think I've ever heard it in my life, but I feel like I'm listening to a mixtape in somebody's basement.
Right, I know. Okay, so anyway, Stille Nacht from Mannheim Steamroller Christmas. You need to go get it. It'll make you cry. Okay. Even if the children didn't sing it when you were little.
Okay. It just brings back memories.
Listen, I can squeeze a 30-second answer to a question in 5 minutes anytime.
That's really what this podcast specialty is.
That's right. That's right.
We take a lot of time to not say much at all.
That's right.
I hate myself already. Let's start over. Hi, this is Travis. Fry Dad.
Stop. Okay, Melanie, what about you? What about you?
I don't know. I was sitting here. Well, I asked y'all that question, and it wasn't like because I had an answer. Of course, I like, and this is not, but I like everything from Travis Cottrell's Ring the Bells Christmas
sure.
album. Is always one that I like to have playing. I think my favorite, I told you this, Soph, when we were in Houston, though, like I think Chris Tomlin's, his first Christmas album, like the whole thing, but I love that. I love Winter Snow, the version that he does with Audrey Assad. I just think that's the most beautiful song. Like, and truth be told, I listen to it year round, and it's not a traditional Christmas song, but I just love it.
I think that I love that song too. And I actually, when I was coming back from Dallas, or I got back from Dallas this past weekend, you know, and it had snowed here. And I thought about, as we were flying into Birmingham, I was thinking about about that song in my head, just cause I don't know. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. So my favorite Christmas song, I think I can say with some degree of certainty, I love Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. It makes me cry.
Yes.
Every time. And I especially love Daniel Renstrom, who is our worship pastor, but he was not our worship pastor the first time I heard his version of this. But his version of it, for 1,000 reasons, is my favorite one. I just love it. And we actually sang it in church this past Sunday, and it made me so happy that, you know, he was singing Come Thou Long Expected Jesus in church because he's our worship pastor. So anyway, I love it a whole bunch.
Okay.
Me too.
Yeah.
Okay. He needs to do a follow-up to On the Incarnation, which was his first Christmas project.
I love that.
He needs to do that again.
It really is.
Look, I'm here for all the sound effects to go along with.
There you go. You're doing a good job.
Yeah, and I'll put that one at the end of the podcast so people can hear it, because I feel real good about Daniel not coming after me with legal action if I use too much of his song. So
yeah,
I feel that would be awkward.
That'd make for an awkward church situation.
It really would. It really would. Okay, well, we have kind of a diverse little list there: the Chris Tomlin and the Winter Snow and the Mannheim Steamroller, and then an old hymn.
Yeah. And then, you know what I love too is, and I was just, cause I was listening to it in my car today, is I love Christy Knuckles, the King Is Coming, like that. The way that starts off is so majestic. Like, it just makes me so happy.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. That Christmas album is phenomenal. And the way it starts just gets me every time, and the way it ends, cause it comes right back around to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
Okay. Big fan.
My all time favorite Christmas music is the Charlie Brown Christmas soundtrack. There's no touching it for me. There's no getting better than that for me.
I agree. Perry Schenkel would agree with you on that. Like, that's his like go to. He's so happy when I have that playing in the house.
Yes.
Alex loves that one a bunch too, I will say. Okay. So are y'all good for some questions from Instagram?
Sure. Yes.
Sure.
Okay. Yes. I've read a couple of these, but I have not read all of them. And so we may have some surprises in the mix. Well, okay. This fits right in. This question is from Mindy Pig. And it says, well, we'll start, Travis, with you. And then Melanie, you can tell us, what's your favorite Christmas cookie or treat? What, Melanie? I couldn't hear you.
I said, does it involve colored marshmallows? That's what I need to know.
Yes.
Does it?
Yes.
That's a childhood. If somebody asks about a childhood. My favorite treat, Christmas treat, I think, is going to be Christmas sugar cookies. And let me tell you what my favorite sugar cookie is.
Okay.
I like a thin mm-hmm. sugar cookie that's chewy, but with a crunchy surface.
Okay.
Crunchy surface, crunchy on the edges, but chewy when you bite into it. With a buttercream icing, thin, not huge stacks of icing, but a thin layer. Now, you know, y'all know we talked all about sugar cookies the other day. And when we were done, I came home and made about a billion dozen of them.
You did?
I made my sister-in-law Kathy's recipe But we wore ourselves out doing it. We were so tired, we frosted them the next day because we were over it.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. I feel like a sugar cookie. I love them, but I like to have them like made for me because I feel like all that cutting and the dough and the whole thing, it's such a process.
Okay, Melanie, what about you?
I would agree with Travis. I think sugar cookies are one of my favorite things at Christmas time. That did not used to be the case. I also love, I think, toffee. Like, I make toffee every Christmas, and that to me is probably my favorite. Like, I can't quit eating it if it's in the house.
Okay, I'm trying to think about me, but you know, I'm more of a savory person than a sweet person. So I would say probably my favorite thing is, I love a good dip and I love a good cheese. But in general, my favorite Christmas snack is homemade Chex Mix.
Yeah, that would be my other. That'd be my other go-to.
Mm-hmm. Heavy on the Worcestershire.
Heavy on the Worcestershire. Heavy on the Tabasco at our house.
Yes, like, I like to find the Cheerios that are just like doused in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the best. Okay. Well, I think
I have to also say. Can I say one more?
Sure.
Yes.
My mom used to make this stuff. I don't know what it's. Somebody else. I think everybody else calls it something different, but we called it white trash.
Oh, is that the Chex Mix?
Basically, Chex Mix with the powdered sugar and the peanut butter and the chocolate.
Mm-hmm. We called it puppy chow.
Yeah. Same thing. We called it white trash. But I will say that my mom died 14 years ago, but a couple of Christmases after my mother had passed away and we were home for Christmas, and an old friend from high school, I saw them at the mall when we were home for Christmas, and they said to me, and they were being so serious, "Every time I see white trash, I think of your mama." She, of course, meant the puppy chow. But
yes.
It was a funny sentence if you had no context.
Yes. Not the kind of thing you
That was funnier in my head than it actually was in reality. Stop. Can we start over?
No, you're shorting it. Stop it.
Yeah.
Here's another question. Did I answer that question?
Yes.
Yeah, Chex Mix.
You said Chex Mix.
This is from CLS531. It says, "I have been dying for a new podcast on all things football." And then it says, "Plus thoughts on Alabama getting into the playoffs." And I had another question that I read earlier, Melanie, that somebody wanted to know what you think about Jimbo Fisher. So you want to bring us up to speed on how you feel about the Jimbo Fisher situation? And then we can talk a little bit about the playoffs.
Yeah, I'll be brief because I know, like, Travis, college football isn't necessarily your love language. Here's what I told a friend today at lunch. I said, I felt like at first with Jimbo Fisher, I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how I feel. And I'm not really sure. Now, like, I've been on the message boards and I'm looking at the assistant coaches he's hiring and everything that's going on. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get a T-shirt with his face on it. Okay. Like, I'm all in. So, I'm drinking the maroon Kool-Aid. I've never felt more optimistic about Aggie football, which is typically how I usually feel once the season is over. So,
yes, it's how you feel from December until late August.
Exactly. If we're lucky, maybe mid-September. But considering the Aggies start their season with Clemson next year, you know, that's going to be a real test right there, right up front. So. Now I'm excited. I'm excited for Aggie football, and I feel good about Coach Fisher. I think that he's a good coach. I feel like the more I read about him, the more I like the way his football mind works. Okay. So
that's promising. That's good.
It's promising. And I feel like he fits in Aggie land. Like, I feel like he's, you know, I don't know. I feel like he is there, and I mean, he's happy, which why wouldn't he be? I mean, he's making a whole bunch of money.
Yeah. Well, I will say I'm also super optimistic. I feel really happy about State hiring Joe Moorhead. I feel like he's a great fit. I feel like he kind of fits the personality of the school and of our program. And I think the players are already really like him and are on board with him. And so I'm excited. I think it was a great hire for us. I think it was efficient. It was quick. I think that our athletic director knew exactly what direction he was going in when Dan Mullen left for Florida. And so I feel really good about it. I'm excited to see what's ahead. So Travis, you're not as much into college football. Do you have any feelings about NFL this year, about the NFL? Are you sad about anybody who's gotten hurt?
I think it's been the worst NFL season of my lifetime.
Wow.
I hate it. Okay. I mean, everything about it's been bad. All the injuries has made it seem like, I think the competitiveness of, each division has been very, very skewed because of the injuries. And, you know, I hate the Patriots, and doggone it, they're good again. And right. Brady's like 85 years old and still being awesome, and that drives me crazy. But I was going to say, you know, SEC football is not completely lost on me because I live in Tennessee, but at least in Tennessee, everybody's completely sane and normal.
Well, yeah, like, sure. No coaching
drama. They aren't the least bit dramatic or Mm-mm. abnormal about their coaching situations. Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. No, it was all very normal. That thing was not a train wreck at all in Tennessee.
No, I think it's so good that that thing is settled, because it was like for a while I felt like at some point it was like it's going to be nope. And so I'm just glad it's settled for them. And honestly, I think they got a really good coach. I mean, I think that he's going to be a good fit. It's going to be good in Tennessee. But I'm sorry for them that it had to be such a dramatic road to get to that spot.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
I really feel like when you look at all the coaching hires, I'm like, I feel like everybody ended up with a good higher for the most part. Like, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out over the next couple of years, like who ends up being there for the long term and who goes, because, you know, right now everybody's full of optimism and, you know, we're all going to the playoffs next year.
Yeah, I feel like state people are optimistic, Arkansas people are optimistic, y'all are optimistic, the Volunteers are optimistic, Florida's, I mean, like, everybody's got new shiny coaches. And so anyway, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then Alabama getting in the playoff. Melanie, did you have thoughts about that? Did you feel like, did you have strong feelings one way or another?
I mean, I kind of felt like they should over Ohio State, was kind of my feeling, because I feel like one loss to Auburn, who had beat two teams that were ranked number one, was a much more, I feel like the Ohio State, I felt like the Iowa loss killed them. Like, I just don't think that you can lose that bad to an unranked team and then get to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I felt like I wanted Alabama to be in there for sure. I did feel like it was interesting to me. I thought that Nick Saban kind of went on a little bit of a PR campaign right there before the selection show. You know, he was on ESPN that Saturday night, again, that Sunday morning. Like, I thought, okay, like, even Alabama is vulnerable sometimes and has to kind of make a case for itself. But I feel like you've got four really good football teams in the playoffs, and I think you've got four teams that are going to play really sort of old school, hard-nosed football. Like, I think it's going to be fun to watch.
I agree. Right. I think
it was just basically upside down. There's no clear cut call for, especially for that number four spot. So, you know, there, I don't think anybody can be extremely angry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah. Now, I was wondering, who are y'all going to root for? Like, who do you want to see? What are you thinking and feeling?
I'm from ACC country,
right?
And I grew up liking Clemson, even though the Heels always have my heart. But I never hated Clemson. You know, I always root for them because they're kind of all we have in the old school ACC realm of football. You know, I don't hardly count Florida State as ACC, even though they've been in the ACC for like 15, 20 years. I don't know, but still. Yeah, I love Clemson.
Hey, is somebody vacuuming somewhere?
Maybe.
Not here.
Oh, gosh. I need to go find
it. It's fine. Please don't make anybody stop. I was just checking, like, to see if we had an issue, a Skype issue, or if we had just somebody just taking care of some chores. It's so fine.
I'm glad that you identified it as a vacuum. I was like, is Travis sitting out on the interstate? What is happening?
Hold on one second. Excuse me, passing through. Let me go into this room with the closed door. I don't think there's going to be any 100% getting away from it.
No, it's so fun. It's so fun. Okay.
It's so much better. I thought you were sitting on a highway somewhere as cars were flying by. I wasn't sure what was happening.
Okay, Melanie, what about you? Who are you rooting for in the playoffs?
I feel like I'm probably... Probably Georgia would be my first, because I feel like I've got to go SEC, and I feel like Alabama been there, done that. And so I feel like Georgia, I'm happy for Georgia, because I feel like they've always been like the runner up. They've been the almost, you know, for so many years. So I'm excited for Georgia. So that would be my pick.
I would say I'm excited for Georgia too. And I mean, you know where I live. And so I always say if I could have a break, just 1 year, I mean, you know, like just a break from having the merchandise, like the national championship merchandise in my face all year long, I'm happy about that. So, and I just would like to see Kirby Smart win. I think that would be really fun. Cause he's done a phenomenal job. So it's a good mix regardless.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Clemson would probably be my, my last choice would probably be Oklahoma. I hate to say that. I'm sorry, Sooners, but I can't do Big 12.
This is a good thing about not having a big college alliance, football alliance, because I like to root for my friends. Like, I root for the Aggies.
Thank you.
For you, and for the Bulldogs for you, and I've got people, you know. I got people everywhere. So yeah. I'm kind of happy whoever wins this point. And even Oklahoma, like, you know, my buddy, oh, never mind. Edit that out. Never mind.
What? Never mind. You know, my buddy.
I'm sorry. It was going to sound like I was name dropping, and I hated myself the second it started to fall out of my mouth. So never mind. Moving on.
Okay.
Moving on.
All right. So this is a question from Jan Mary, you know, from Ireland, Melanie, who's commented on our blogs for years. She says, where in the world would you like to visit? Is there some place you would like to visit? Melanie, I feel like we talked about this recently, but I would really like to visit England. I have never been to England and would love, love, love to go. That's my simple answer. Preferably around the time of the royal wedding.
That would be my answer, too. If I were going to go, if I had one place, I feel like that's a place I would really like to go.
Trav?
That would be it.
I've never been to Italy, and I would love to go to Italy.
Okay.
And I'd love to have extended time there. Like, I really don't like international travel. It wears me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm kind of waiting until we're old and can, you know, afford the time to be over there. Because I'd like to go, but...
And have less energy. I would like to wait till we're old.
Yeah, exactly. It's already so bad. Yeah. And also, the only time we went to England, we were young and stupid and really didn't know, you know, what to go see and how to take it in. And so I'd love to go back there as well. Let's just all go.
Okay.
Yeah, but I would have to say, because international travel to me is, you know, Soph, I'm a homebody, but I've also been thinking more and more, like, I would love to do like Wyoming and Montana. I feel like there's parts of the United States that I haven't seen that I would like to go see. And that feels much more doable to me.
True. I agree. Yeah. I would like to go to that part of the country too. I've been up there like one time when I was way younger. I would love to go back with some time, especially now that I enjoy nature. You know, like, I like to be outside a lot more than I used to. And so,
yes,
I think I would enjoy that. Melanie, maybe we can do that at some point too.
Maybe so. Maybe there's a church up there that would like for us to come speak.
I'll come sing before y'all speak.
Okay. All right. This question is from MCKT. It says, your very favorite Christmas present you've ever given and your very favorite Christmas present you have ever received. That's a lot of pressure to think about that on the spot. Mm-hmm. Favorite Christmas present you've ever given, why don't you just pick one, either given or received? What's your favorite? Travis, do you have one that pops?
I can't even hold on. Smell.
What? I don't know. I mean, I there's so many that I feel like for different reasons. I mean, I think like childhood, I vividly remember getting the Donnie and Marie Barbie doll set complete with soundstage. Okay. And at that time, that was probably the pinnacle of my life. Now, since then, is that probably the best Christmas present ever? No, but I remember being like super excited in that little kid way of, I cannot believe that I now own this Donnie and Marie Barbie doll set.
I will say, this is where I live. This is the first thing that popped in my head. My favorite Christmas present I have ever received was probably about 6 or 7 years ago, and David gave me a really good knife, like a really good kitchen knife. And I use it every day. I have loved it with my whole heart. And just about every time I use it, I think this is the best gift I've ever gotten. Like, it's practical. It's helpful. It makes my life easier. I love it. And I think all the time, these are really underrated gifts. I don't know. And it surprised me But I think I had used like bad knives long enough that it felt like relief when I finally got a good one. And so I love my knife that I have.
Okay.
So there you go.
Okay, I got two things. Number one was when I got an Atari as a kid, that was a game changer. Literally a game changer. I don't know where my Atari is. It got thrown away or something, but I wish I still had that thing and all the games. Okay, so there's that. But here's another funny story. Now, you know, my parents were older.
Yes.
My parents were 45 and 40 when I was born. So not only was my mother older when I was born, but she was the youngest of nine.
Oh, wow.
So all my aunts and uncles were like, you know, I had 60-year-old aunts when I was born.
Wow.
So anyway, one of my aunts was named Aunt Mary Pearl. Mary Pearl, bless them. And she was one of my favorite aunts, Aunt Mary Pearl. And I would go over there and spend the night all the time. And we'd watch TV, and she was fun, and I loved her so much. And she had an organ. Like, remember those old electric organs?
Yes.
That had all the colorful buttons that you would press, and like there was a Hawaiian guitar button.
Yes.
Remember the Hawaiian guitar button?
Yes, I do.
And then you could turn the drums on. It would play this drum, and I would play her organ. I loved it so much. And so one year, my parents thought I loved Aunt Mary Pearl's organ so much that they bought me one of those organs.
Oh.
And so, you know, here I am as like a, I don't know, 11 or 12-year-old boy in Boone, North Carolina, and, you know, everybody's getting like skis and things like that for Christmas, and I get an organ. I got an electric organ with the Hawaiian guitar. But the amazing thing is, as I look back, it's one of my all-time favorite gifts. I love that thing. I love it.
That is, my nanny had one of those. And I mean, my sister and I used to play on that thing for hours. I mean, it was like the greatest thing. It had like the samba, the bossa nova. You could hit all those buttons. It
would
have like an automatic like background.
Oh, yeah, the bossa nova. I remember that. Hey, y'all, it's Sophie. I'm by myself in the middle of the podcast, which, as you know, means that I'd like to tell you about something. Since the holidays are right around the corner, I thought I would mention Sock Club is delivering the perfect gift experience. You can remind your loved ones that you care each month with quality American-made socks. These socks are sent straight to their door, featuring different designs and a personal note every month that can be customized before each shipment. I've mentioned before that Melanie and I have a couple of 14-year-olds who love them some socks. And I'll tell you something else. Melanie and I are crazy about our Sock Club subscriptions. It's one of our favorite things. We get the biggest kick out of it. Love to get that package in the mail every month. These socks are made in the USA. There are men's, women's, and children's sizes available. They're delivered once a month with a personalized letter that explains the story behind the sock. You can get gift subscriptions shipped for free anywhere in the USA, and you can buy a package or month-to-month subscriptions. So, if you want to give your friends or your family members a gift that will keep on giving all year long, go to sockclub.com/bigboo and get 15% off using the discount code BIGBOO at checkout. That's sockclub.com/bigboo and use the discount code BIGBOO. Give a little reminder of your love every month. Give Sock Club. Alrighty, back to episode 90. Oh, Melanie, Travis, you won't care a lick about this question, but hopefully you will be mildly entertained by our answers. Okay?
Okay,
this is, what type of wedding gown, Melanie, do you envision Meghan Markle in? This is from SNJ, I don't know if it's SNJato or SNJato, but it says, I see her in a simple tailored style, but that doesn't seem to be the royal way. I'd love to know how you'd style her. Go, Melanie Schenkel. I can't wait to hear this.
I picture her in something very, I think it'll have a full skirt, because I think you have to have a full skirt. But I think it'll be much simpler than Kate's. I think it'll be very classic and elegant and simple is what I think. Okay. Ideally, I would like to see her in strapless. There's not a chance in the world that that's going to happen.
Right.
Because I think it's like English law. You have to have your shoulders covered in the church. I don't know that for sure. I just totally made that up, but I don't think you can do strapless. So I would like to see her in something very, simple and elegant.
Yes.
And that's what I think she'll wear. I don't think it'll be super lacy. I think it'll probably be some really nice satin.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think I can kind of see her wearing something, and I don't know what you call these, but almost like a cap sleeve kind of, but something that comes into maybe a deeper V than what we would normally think of for a royal wedding. Like, I don't see her being covered up to her collarbone.
No, I don't
kind of see her in a deeper V, and maybe something even belted, like something I see, like with her. Mm-hmm. I don't know, something okay. Very tailored, not fussy, not lacy. I do not see lace in this equation.
I don't either. Not a lot of foof. I think it'll be a very streamlined look, which I loved Kate's. I mean, I could see her in, because I thought Kate's was pretty simple in the whole scheme of things. So I could see her in a less lacy version of something along the lines of what Kate wore.
Okay, Travis, I know probably you're not super into the royal wedding that's coming up. Have you followed this news at all about Prince Harry and Meghan Markle?
I watched the original interview.
Okay, with them together?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good for you. Good for you, Trav.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who she is. She's some actress of some show?
Yes, she's an actress on some show. Although I think she's leaving her acting career behind.
I should say that she is.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's another question that we have. This is from Katie M. Swan. And she says, what are you doing Christmas Day and what do you eat? And Katie is Scottish. So she said, I'm interested to hear what y'all do. I give Katie points for using y'all in that question.
Uh-huh.
And then she said, oh, and is Travis's daughter okay now after her accident? So
First
Christmas Day, what will you do on Christmas Day? What will you eat? And then Travis, give us an update on Lily. Melanie, what about you?
We will just be here Christmas Day. So Christmas Eve, we'll go eat tamales at my parents' house after church. And we do that. And we open up presents with my sister and her family. And then Christmas Day, we are just here. And we do breakfast and we open presents. And then just kind of hang out and relax all day. So it's a nice little Christmas Day. Hopefully it's cold enough. We have a fire in the fireplace and we have like breakfast casserole in the morning and then cinnamon rolls. And then I usually make a big thing of gumbo, which is what we eat that night.
Okay. Travis, what about y'all?
Well, Christmas Day is usually a travel day for us. Mm-hmm. So we get up and do, you know, like Santa presents under the tree. And then we eat angel, you know, we'll make something fun for breakfast, but we don't really have a tradition. So there'll probably be some kind of egg casserole in the mix and, you know, gluten-free stuff. And then, honest to goodness, as we travel to visit Angela's family, we stop at Hardee's every year because it is the only place open in Savannah, you know, between here and Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. And Savannah, mm-hmm. There's a Hardee's open. So we get gigantic Hardee's burgers. Of course, Angela and the boys get, you know, wrapped in lettuce because they're gluten-free. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we don't really have big food things on Christmas Day. We have it on other days, but Christmas Day is kind of a travel, you know, it's always been a travel day.
Okay. So
we will kind of the same. We'll get up and we'll do I'll usually make something for breakfast. A lot of times I'll have a breakfast casserole, or we'll do pancakes or something like that, fun for Christmas morning. And then we open presents and then just sort of hang out. I'll put snacks out over the course of the day. And then at night, like I actually just decided today, usually I try to do something different than what we would have had Thanksgiving. So like, I think this year I'm going to do steak and potato casserole and some squash and just different stuff like that. So we'll have our meal probably about 5:30 or 6:00. But we usually, by the time Christmas rolls around, nobody wants any more cornbread dressing. Nobody wants turkey or ham. So over the last couple of years, I don't know, more than that, really, I've kind of started to do steak, or I'll do a pork tenderloin or something like that, but just kind of try to do something a little different. Okay, Travis, how's Lily doing after her accident?
It's very sweet. she's fine. You know, her car totaled, but she was really fine. The only problem that she had was that she was hit with the airbags. The airbag. So her face was black and blue and her chest was sore, and it was really sore. I finally took her after 2 or 3 days to have a chest x-ray just to make sure there wasn't a broken rib or, you know, cracked sternum or something. But no, she's back. She's back at it. She's
fine. Good.
Thank you. That's sweet of them to remember and ask.
That was sweet.
Okay, I know. Well, I always hear that about those airbags, because, I mean, Lily's, she's a small girl. You know what I mean? Like, you hear that sometimes they end up hurting you. I mean, it's good to have them, but that you can get hurt from them, especially if you're not a big person.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Hold on. We got a lot of questions asking the same thing. People have wanted to know what our favorite Christmas song was.
We answered. We sensed that one.
I know.
Done.
Okay, this is, all right, this is from Kim, Connor Cole's mom. Again, Melanie, a longtime blog commenter and social media friend. Yes. And she says, she's asking specifically about Alex, but I think we could answer this for Alex, Levi, and Caroline. What do they want for Christmas? She said her 14-year-old has given them no idea what to get him. And when you look up on, she said, when you look on Amazon, it's weird stuff, like for 14-year-olds, like a game that zaps people randomly. So what are some things for our teenagers? And we all have kids the same age-ish.
Yeah.
So these 14-year-olds, what are some things that y'all have thought about for your kids? Travis, you want to start first for Levi? Have y'all thought about that yet?
Okay. We're done with our Christmas shop for the kids. But Levi wanted a gaming. We're behind on gaming. Like, we don't. So he didn't. He asked for a PlayStation 4.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if that's behind or not, but so that's kind of a big gift, but that's what he's getting. Like, what we usually do, if there's not like a one gift thing, is sometimes there'll be like a name brand shirt or belt or something that we wouldn't normally like get. But if he wants it for Christmas, we'll do that. That's kind of silly, isn't it? But
no, it's not.
That's what we do for Christmas time. Like, we get him something that we wouldn't get him in like normal life.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what Christmas is for, though. You know, you get something that's a little not every day.
What about email? What about for Caroline?
She, you know, she loves her athletic wear, her athleisure. So we've got some hoodies.
Athleisure.
Mm-hmm. So she came home yesterday. This is a good teen tip, and this could even help y'all. I'm trying to think of things that are like unisex for boys and girls. But she came home yesterday so excited about this website called Redbubble.com. Do y'all know about Redbubble?
I do not.
No.
So they have stickers and phone covers and notebooks, but it's all like current event stuff. So like, it's funny quotes from like The Office and from Parks and Rec and from Stranger Things, and it's these stickers. And so she came home so excited about, she just wants a plain, she's got a MacBook, so she just wants a plain covered shell for her MacBook, and then she wants all these stickers from Redbubble to put all over it. And so they're funny, and they're like $3 a piece. So it would be a great little stocking stuffer. But then they also have like calendars and journals and all that stuff. So I have been looking at Redbubble at all these little stickers to see which ones I think she would like. But it's everything that the kids, and it's like a lot of stuff is like from Vine. So a lot of it, I was like, I don't understand what that is. And she's like, it's from a Vine. And there's even a sticker that says, it's from a Vine. So like,
it's right, a meme. Exactly. It's a meme.
Yes. Yes. So
we're paranoid. Listen, are you just like so paranoid that every little quote from a Vine or YouTuber, you're like, what does that mean? They're like, it doesn't mean anything. Like, no, that means something bad. Don't say it.
To lunch today, Alex and I went to lunch with my friend Stephanie and her daughter Ella, and Alex and Ella are really close friends. And so toward the end of lunch, Alex and Ella got up. They were going to go walk around the place where we were. When they stood up, I looked at Stephanie and I said, really, we are just months away from not understanding one word that comes out of their mouths. Like, I feel like even now I need a little bit of a translator, and I work with teenagers, but I can't keep up with all the memes and all the things they reference. I don't know what they are. And so, yeah, you kind of go like, well, what's that? Well, what does that mean? Well, is that bad? Should you say that? Like, it's something else.
Well, because you don't know, like, there's a sticker, like, on this website, like, yesterday we were looking at it. It's like, stop, I could have dropped my croissant. And I'm like, I don't know what that means.
I'm looking at that right now. I'm on Redbubble.com.
I'm like, does it mean something besides I dropped my croissant? Or does it literally mean, stop, I could have dropped my croissant? Because you don't know. And then you certainly don't want to say, because don't you remember, like, I can remember growing up, and I'm not going to say any specific examples, but, like, where a friend's parent would say something, and you're like, I don't think that means what you think it means. You know, like...
Right. And do y'all feel like, I thought today, if anybody is in need, if there's a shortage of sarcasm in anybody's home, we have a surplus in this house that we would be willing to share. For sure. The sarcasm factor in our house, I feel like in the last even 4 or 5 months, has escalated to such a point where today Alex was being super sarcastic about something. We were going down the road. I'd ask him a question. He was being so sarcastic, and it was cold outside. I rolled down the window on his side and hit window lock on mine. And I said, when you feel like you are sufficiently humbled, let me know and I will roll it up. So we go down the road with that cold air blowing in, because I've got to have something to do. There's so much sarcasm. Oh my gosh. Oh, uh-huh. Travis, uh-huh. Is that true in your house?
No, we have no sarcasm. No, none.
Uh-huh. Don't even know what that means.
Uh-oh. Right. Oh, I'm on Redbubble. I'm going to lose a lot of hours on this site here looking for stickers for my kids.
I know. But it's like everything that they're into right now. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many. I feel like it's everything that they love.
It's like it's like the Facebook buttons. Remember when the Facebook used to have...
Yes, I do remember that. The buttons
Melanie,
mattered.
Do you see what Travis just sent us?
I'm just seeing...
But you know how, like, with the Facebook buttons, and you could put buttons on people's boards, and it was like, it was almost like high school again, because it was all your inside jokes. I wouldn't mind having that again.
No.
I know, but you know what? In today's culture, like, the way it is, like, you'd be so judged. There would be no room for
humor. Right, for humor. Well,
everybody takes everything so seriously.
Well, I think maybe I think maybe Redbubble, Travis, is going to be your Facebook buttons of 2018.
It could be. Mm-hmm. It could be. Mm-hmm. Somehow Levi ordered some t-shirts from somewhere with some kind of YouTube quote a couple months ago, and Angela and I about died because we didn't know what it meant. And it turns out, I'm not going to say it, just in case we've been, you know, duped once again. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean, but we were like, you know, where did you buy these, and what account were you on, and what does that mean, and who quotes it? Who is the quote, and what's his YouTube page, and what's his point, and like, how does he make a living, and how's he getting paid? Are you paying to watch these skateboarders? You know, like, it's all so much. Yeah. You're getting ahead.
Could you cite the source, please, in MLA format, double spaced, if you wouldn't mind. Start with the alphabetical order, and we'll go from there. It's too much. It's more than we can keep up with. Just like it was more than our parents could keep up with when we were on the other side of this thing.
Exactly.
Okay.
When we were pinning actual buttons on our backpacks.
That's right.
Yes.
Actual red buttons. Yes. Did either one of y'all? This was in that same question. Did either one of y'all ever do Elf on a Shelf with your kids?
I did. Yes. I did. We no longer do it. I cannot even tell you how not sad I am that part of my motherhood journey is over.
Okay. Okay. Travis?
We just didn't do it. Yeah. I don't know how we missed it, but we missed it.
Yeah, I didn't do it. You know, I got no patience for stuff like that. Like, I don't. There's something. If you think I'm on... No. Uh-uh. I'm not going to set up like a trapeze wire for an elf to walk across and dump out a bucket of Hershey Kisses when they get to the other end of that thing. I'm not doing it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sleep is what I'm going to do. I'm not setting up an obstacle course for the elf. I'm not, we're not having an elf that we're not putting raisins coming out of its behind like it's pooped on something. We're not doing any of those things. We're not. No.
Hershey Kisses.
We're gonna sleep is what we're gonna do. So. How many years did you do Elf on a Shelf? Do you feel like?
I mean, we did it. I feel like, I mean, well, we did it up until like last year. Well, the last 2 years, this year it has not come out. The last 2 years we did it and everybody kind of knew what was going on, but I just, for nostalgic sake, and it, but it relieves the pressure of the whole thing. And then I do say, I think that when we took on the elf, like she was probably in first or second grade, and it was before it kind of became what it is now. I mean, because there again, that was before Pinterest existed. So I just thought the trick was, is like one day it was sitting on top of the coffee pot, and one day it was like sitting by your cereal bowl. I wasn't of the age that we concocted elaborate scenarios for the elf to live out. You know, that wasn't part of our thing. It was more of just like we would hide it. Maybe he'd hang from the chandelier. But I felt like it is the morning thing where it led to a lot of times where Perry would have to tell Caroline, like we would both have this moment of panic in the morning, and it would be like, hey, come back in your bedroom. I need to show you something real quick while I frantically like threw the elf to like somewhere and be like, look where he's hiding today.
Yeah. He's behind the couch.
Yeah. Isn't that funny, Elle?
That's funny. I'm going to look and see if we have any more. Or one more question before we wrap up. Travis, I feel like you haven't launched into any singing at all yet.
Well.
I felt like Travis set us up with an expectation with his sweater that he had on this morning. But yet we have heard really nary a Christmas carol.
Where did you get that sweater?
In the bleak midwinter. Oh, I ordered that on the internet.
Explain your sweater. For the people who did not see the picture that
so
we saw.
Last year, I ordered it last year because Melinda Doolittle was wearing the sweater on an Instagram picture or something.
Okay.
And it was bright red with design on it, like Christmas, bad Christmas sweater design. And in the center, it was basically a big fireplace, picture of a big fireplace on the front of the sweater with a pouch in the center part of the fireplace where you slide your phone. After, of course, you've opened up the app that they point you to, and it's an app, a burning, crackling fire. And so you put the burning, crackling fire on your phone, and then you slide it in the pouch, and your whole sweater looks like a nice, warm little fireplace.
Oh, that's very nice. It's very festive.
It's very festive.
It's very festive, and I love it.
And I wonder, do you wear that out places? I mean, do you wear it in public?
Well, no, we had our staff Christmas party at church was this morning, so I wore it there because they wanted us to dress festive, and
that's perfect.
I wore it there. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this is a serious question, but here's why I'm going to read it, because Travis, last night I texted you last night to tell you that I was watching you on. It was you and Beth and Mandisa.
Christmas special. Yeah.
Yeah, the Living Proof Christmas special, and I really enjoyed the format, and I enjoyed what you had to say, and this question falls in line with what you said. So somebody asked this question, and she said, what do you do when life doesn't look how you thought it was supposed to, and it looks like God has a plan for everyone except you? I feel like this is a normal season, being 32 and being 32 and still single, it feels like I missed the boat. How do you trust a God when it doesn't work out how you thought it would? But you had a good thing that you said last night. Do you remember what you said when you were talking about?
Well, okay. I do remember, because I was sitting there thinking, you know, just listening to Mandisa's story and the way the Lord brought Mandisa to where she is and her place in ministry. And it was just interesting, you know, to watch her to go from the basement of Lifeway to where she is now with this platform that is just so amazing. But in the middle of it all, she's been very transparent with this the past year and year and a half. She came out of a season of depression, just 3 years where she literally was asking God to let her die. Like, she was in such a horrible place. And you can find that testimony anywhere. And she tells it so powerfully. But I'm just sitting there thinking about how even the things that you think, you know, You see people who think, well, surely they would never be unhappy with their life. Look at how everything's happened for them. They must have some kind of secret recipe or some kind of magic something, or God must like them more. They just, you know, they were given a head start, you know, all those things. I was just listening to Mandisa's testimony and thinking how all those things are, that's so untrue. That's such a lie of the enemy. how God didn't give Mandisa something more special than what he gave you or you or you or me or Beth. You know, God did not give Beth something. He gave her a gift to carry and a responsibility. And, you know, with what she's done, what she's been called to do, you know what he also did? He's let her life be a living hell in a lot of ways, you know, and all throughout mm-hmm. her life with a lot of the things that she's experienced. So that out of that heartache and heartbreak and trial and sorrow, she could find him, learn from him, take, you know, like learn from him. I think about the scripture that says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I'll give you rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And so, you know, out of those hard times, she's taken his yoke upon her and learned from him. And as she comes out of that, then she has the gift that she has then to help us out of that. All that to say, it is really easy to look and go, well, my life didn't work out the way I planned it. Well, none of ours did.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. it may seem like one life has an absence of pain or heartache or need. And it's not true. Not a single life does. And God does not favor one life over another. You have to go, you know, search him out, take his yoke upon you, and continue to trust him, continue to bring everything before him, continue to surrender before him. And as you do that, there he is a God of his word, you know. Let's see, where was I? Just this past week, I heard a pastor saying, we were on Christmas tour, and the pastor Sunday morning said something of the old adage that he's rarely early, but he's never late.
Right.
And you just have to remember that God, in due season, mm-hmm. you will reap, you know, in due season. And we just, at the end of the day, we can't force his hand on what season we want that reaping to happen, but it will happen as we walk in faithfulness, as we continue to trust him. So the big catch is the comparison thing, though. The comparison thing will eat our lunch, mm-hmm. eat us alive. Mm-hmm. And, well, this person has this at this age. Well, this person had this amount of success. Well, this person has all of this rolled out for him. What about me? I'm not married. I don't have a job that I love. I have no Christian community around me, and you just, you know, it'd be easy to say, I don't have that and that and that. And that's the biggest trap that we all, no matter where we are, have to stay away from. And the Lord, you know, only the Lord can keep us out of that pit, because that does lead us into a pit when we start comparing.
It for sure does. Yeah. Melanie, do you have anything to add? That was good, Trav. Do you have anything to add to that, Mel?
No, I think it's so good. And I think it's, you know, and I think even going, I think whether that's in your own life, or I think that so many times with Caroline, where I think, like, I don't want her to go through different things that I went through in my life, or you want more, but then it's like, it's the thing though, where you go, well, some of those hard, tough places were the very things that helped me grow and helped my faith grow and helped me get to the other side. And I think so much of joy is really, when we can rest in the place where God has us, like, it's kind of like finding your contentment, even if you're in the middle of the wilderness, like kind of finding, I think you have to fight for joy. You know, I think there's so many things that want to steal that. And I think you have to make the decision, like, I'm not going to wish for, because I think we can spend so much time wishing for that thing, that if just this thing would happen, then my life would feel complete. And I can say in my own life, so many times those things happen and you're like, well, okay, man. Now what? Like, well, now I want, right. Now it's going to be this next thing. And so I think so much of joy, and it's finding, it's trying to find the joy in the midst of even a hard season, and trusting that God's going to have something for you, even in that he's, mm-hmm. he's growing you and he's preparing you. And I think that's hard. I mean, it's definitely not but I look at it in Caroline's life and I'm like, I think as parents, sometimes we want to make our kids' life so easy, but you're like, they've got to go through their share of stuff too, because that's going to make them into who they're supposed to be, you know?
Right.
So that's it.
That's good. That's good wise counsel, y'all.
Well,
great is thy faithfulness, oh God, my Father.
Yes.
That may be my favorite. That may be my favorite ever.
Me too. All right.
There is no shadow of turning with thee. I should have waited about 10 beats later for that. It seemed too close to the serious.
No, it was perfect. It was perfect.
I didn't to be irreverent because I was all up in that moment.
I think it was perfect.
I think it was perfect. Ironically, this final question I'm looking at says, how do you decide what to talk about on the podcast? This is from Nardo1085. And I would say pretty much we don't. We don't decide.
Yeah, pretty much. We just go with whatever comes up.
Travis, would you say that's accurate? Well, we don't really decide.
That's accurate unless Melanie sends us some orders like, okay, here's what I want you to talk about tonight.
I was trying to give us a plan.
Occasionally, Melanie, we will have an idea for a plan. Occasionally, like we'll think,
we have an idea
for a plan. We'll record in a few days, like for kind of an end of the year podcast. But by and large, we just sort of roll with it. So we just talk about whatever, as we have done today.
Yes, I think that's the best way to go. Sometimes, though, I just feel like you have to set yourself up for success. That's what I was trying to do.
Well, you absolutely did. And hey, I will say this, Melanie, and I don't want this to make you prideful, but your microphone has not crackled at all today. Like the sound has not been great because of Skype. That's not our issue. But the crackly thing, you know, like when I said, "What's happening? Is something rabbit?" Like I think your microphone has really it's been on point today, and I would just like to affirm it.
Thank you. I feel good about that. Well, I think it was because I had been using my external. I didn't realize it was no longer set to my Blue Snowball mic. So I think that was the game changer.
Okay. Well, you know, that happened to me as well.
I think my mic's been great, too.
I'd like to thank the lady that was vacuuming during the podcast. I felt like that added a little something extra.
Okay, y'all. I feel like this was better than 2 days ago. Do y'all feel better about it?
A little bit. I still hate myself, but.
Travis is here to
offer. Did you know that Neil Diamond has multiple Christmas records?
Multiple Christmas records?
Yes, he has the classic Christmas album.
Okay.
He has the Christmas album Volume 2. And. Yeah, by multiple, I mean two, it seems.
Okay.
Oh, no. Perfect. He has Neil Diamond Acoustic Christmas.
There's no way you're getting away from this podcast without a little Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and
Vixen. I know. Thank you.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen. No, that's not too high. You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen. Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen.
No, it's not. It's just perfect.
But do you recall the most famous reindeer of all?
It makes me unreasonably happy.
Rudolph.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. I've got to take Alex to your friend's house now.
The red nose reindeer.
All right. I got to go get C from school.
Travis, would you like to tell everybody Merry Christmas?
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
All right. Hey, everybody. Okay.
Sorry. I made myself laugh with something I didn't say.
Okay. Ready?
Yes.
I didn't even know what those words meant.
No.
And I was hitting those buttons and playing with the bossa nova.
Hey, can y'all hear that? That static?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's real static. It's safe static.
Is it the bossa nova?
We try so hard. We try so hard to put out, to do podcasts, and it's just never not a train wreck. It's never, we can't have nice things. I don't know why.
It's, and we keep trying. It's the only thing in our life that is this hard that we haven't given up on.
Like, it sounds like we're stuck on a radio station on a dial at a station that does not exist.
An AM station.
With Radio Shack equipment.
Well.
Here's what's so funny is I just read a question a second ago that says, hold on, let me read it out loud, where somebody said, just a quick note, will you have Melanie check her microphone before y'all start recording? Hers has been crackly the last several
episode. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. Or they were sore afraid, which is what I grew up hearing. They were sore afraid.
Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins, release us, let us find our rest in thee. Is your strength and consolation